Past players, past legends,
past legends.
Today, we greatly appreciate having the time of Brian Binky on board. Now, Binks played 107 games for Port, 169 goals, three-time premiership player between 93 and 2003, 38 games for the Crows, 42 goals, so 145 games overall, coaching at South Warrnambool, Port, Norwood. We will cover all of that. Also, in the fitness game of the Carpini side of things, we will cover that as well. Binks, welcome aboard.
Thanks, guys. You're going to jog my memory, that's for sure. Well, see how we go.
I enjoy doing that, thanks.
We're going to start back a fair way, mate, so pretty prepared for the memory to be jogged. But where did you start your juniors, mate? Where did you ply your trade?
Yeah, so I grew up in Port Augusta. I spent the first 15 years of my life up there and played for South Augusta Footy Club. Played up there until year 10, came down to a couple of years of boarding school and in Adelaide, and pretty much been down ever since.
Where'd you board at, Binks?
Sorry?
Where did you board at? What school, Binks?
St. Peter's College. So I was there for 2 years.
That's right. You're a Hackney High boy. That's right. Yes.
And yep. So obviously your time out in the country footy there, you're aligned with Port Adelaide. I mean, we're going to get to that a little bit in a minute, but was that sort of how that sort of eventuated?
Yeah, absolutely. I was a massive Bays fan growing up, to be honest. All I wanted to do was play for Glenelg as a kid, but Port were our zone, and there was murmurs and there were strong rumours that they were going to change the zones over to North Adelaide, which they ended up doing anyway. I was pretty keen to play for Port rather than North, so I signed up pretty quick.
Fair enough. And your junior local club there, do you want to give them a little bit of a shout out?
Yeah, they're an awesome club. Still keep in regular contact with them and get up when I can, not as much as I'd like to. I've produced a few AFL players as well. So myself, who else we got? Connor Rosie.
Oh, he goes all right. Yeah, I'd take that. Right. Yeah.
Who else? I'm missing one. There's another one in there somewhere. That had a lot of success in recent time. The last 2 years haven't been as quite as good, but they... I think it was 5 premierships they won in a row just recently. So they've been a very successful club, a very good family club.
And was that a case of your junior days, you then got brought down to Adelaide to play back in my day, and I'm sure Malcolm said the Sandboy Cup or the under-18s championships and stuff like that? Is that how that sort of got you towards the city a little bit more?
Yeah, pretty much. Mum always wanted me to head down to the city and for education as well as for... and, you know, for sport and that sort of stuff. But I was fortunate enough to make all the rep sides on the way through, the Sapsaza and the Sandboy Cup and then the Teal Cup stuff. So I got myself noticed through that pathway. And then, a few things sort of came together and got involved with Port and then had the opportunity to go to St. Peter's as a boarder.
See, ironic, I've only worked that out now, Binks. I probably umpired you back in the Sandboy Cup. I'm looking back at the times there. So it would have the past, okay, would have right. cracked back then, which is a bit ironic. So, yeah.
I love those days. That Sandboy Cup Carnival was a ripper. It's a strong memory for me. Mm-hmm. We were aligned. It was an interesting country zone because there was Port Augusta, but then Whyalla and some of those places in between were with the Eagles.
That's right.
And then you go over to the EP and all the EP was all Port. So to connect with a lot of those boys and some of those guys are, you know, still my friends today. So that was, I've got awesome memories of those days.
Okay, so junior career at Port then, Binks?
Yep.
Go through a look, that.
So under 15s would have been Sandboy Cup, so under 17s?
Yeah, so under 15s was the first time I played for Port, and I also played a couple of under 17s games that year, just coming down from the country on the weekend a couple of times in the school holidays, I think it was. And then with school commitments, I had to play for the college most weeks, so... Under 17s, I think I played 3 or 4 games in each of the years. And I think I played 1 under 19s game. And then school was finished and then I went straight into seniors after that.
Yeah, it is. You forget back then the college commitments were, and there was no way in the world. And like they try and link things over a bit more now and play the odd round of 17, during the week and try and open it up so the college guys do play more now than what they used to. Yeah.
Yep. So. Yep. There was also, when I first came down, I was, I'll be honest, I was pretty homesick. I was always pretty keen to get back to the country. So exit weekends and holidays, I like to go back home rather than be down playing.
Yep.
You stole my thunder a little bit there. I was going to ask, how did it all go about boarding for the first time away from home? But it sounds like you missed it.
Yeah, well, it must have been hard for my parents, but particularly my mum. I can remember the first term coming down to school, and I was always a homesick kid. I don't know why I'm such an independent bloke now, but I can remember, you know, calling her quite regularly to tell her to come and pick me up, and what have you done? So it would have been tough for her to hear that. But once I settled in, once I got through the first term and made some good friendships, I loved my time at boarding school. It was, you know, just like living with your mates.
Who were some of the notables that you had within your school team there, mate?
Well, in the boarding house, I'd probably a couple of big names. One most people would pretty know pretty well was Hamish McLaughlin. He was in the same year as me. That everyone probably knows Hamish.
Yeah, pretty handy.
That's a fair one.
Although he's had a break from the screens this year because he took his family over to France for the year. So, but yeah, he was a really good mate and in the same year as me in the boarding house. So we became pretty close at that time. Through the school at similar times, Tommy Harley was a few years younger than me. Yeah. And obviously had huge success.
Yeah, I knew Harles was a bit younger. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And quite a few that played SANFL and big in other areas, not just football as well.
Yep.
And how did you go in your first year of 17s there at Port Adelaide?
You're testing me now. I'm pretty sure we didn't make the finals.
It's a bit hard to question you on that one too, because as you said, you played so few games. You would have sort of really, wouldn't have really felt a real connection with Port until senior side of things. Probably more connection at 15s level than at junior level. At 17s
very
and
much,
19s.
Very much so. Yeah, yeah. It was almost like playing Sandboy Cup. You know, you get to represent them for that week. And they're very good at getting you involved. I can remember it was either Sandboy Cup year or maybe it was the year after. And Port used to run these country weeks at the end of the footy season. They'd bring down their invited players and spend some time at the club. And it was usually grand final week, our SANFL grand final week. And those times, Port were pretty much in it.
Yeah.
So they'd get us involved and, you know, take us along to the game and get us involved in that sort of stuff. So that was always pretty cool, especially as a young kid.
All right. So your senior debut for Port, who was that against, mate?
That was North Adelaide at the old Footy Park.
All right. And so go through your initial times at Port. So what have we got? So 93. So coaching-wise, yep. Trying to quickly...
Yep.
Go through that side of things, mate.
Yeah, I'll give you the rundown. So school was 91-92. That's when I played 17s. And then 93 was my first year of seniors. John Cale was coaching.
Yeah, I was going to say it was still Cale. Yep.
Remember my first session very well down at the Snake Pit, which anyone in Adelaide will know pretty well. And Cale giving me a mouthful as I was running around. Something to the tune of, it's not school footy anymore, is it, young fella? So just those things that just stay entrenched in you. I was a nervous kid, especially in football, because I really grew up, you know, idolising not that anyone else does, but really had these guys on a pedestal. And you know, to train with Stephen Williams and Scott Hodges and those sort of guys was pretty nerve-wracking to start with and quite intimidating. But quite quickly, you step up to the demands and. Go from there. So Jack Cale, 93 through till 98, halfway through 98 when he stepped away. Is that right?
Yep. And where did Geelong fit in the equation there, Binks? Because you were drafted by Geelong.
Yep. So this is, you guys would know this very well, but most people I speak to these days, especially anyone younger than me, doesn't recall these times, but they were drafted out of school, so at the end of year 12 to Geelong.
Yeah, that's what I was
back
working
then when
out.
The lists,
yeah.
Yeah, the lists were 52.
That's right.
Back in those days. So it was pretty common for a few, especially SANFL boys or Waffle boys, to not go over initially. And they still keep you on the list. And so that was pretty common. So I think there was three or four of us in the SANFL that were on Geelong's list that were still playing SANFL at that time.
Yeah.
And my take was, at the end of that year, so I was on the list for a year, and they invited me over for the pre-season, and also that if I didn't come over, they'd cut me off because they were dropping it back to 42, but they wanted me to come over as the 42.
Yep.
I made the decision. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, but I made the decision that I just started my uni. The base salary at that stage was $7,500. You know, very different times. So yeah. I thought it was smarter.
Just a tad.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought it was smarter to stay here and, you know, make sure my uni was under control. And also, I'd played a few games as a 17-year-old in the senior. So I thought I was tracking pretty well. Maybe it was a bit of blind faith or arrogance to think I could continue that form and then, you know, someone else would pick me up.
Plus, I still think that's a pretty mature decision, though, Binks. Like to decide, no, I'm not going to put all my eggs in basket in footy at that salary and that side of things, and no university study. I actually think you're being pretty mature in your thoughts there.
You analyse these things in all different ways, don't you?
Yeah.
You said, well, hindsight's a wonderful thing, yeah, and no one knew where the game was going to go money wise, and all that sort of stuff. I think so. I mean, with the same conditions, I'd probably make the same decision.
What were you obviously knowing that Jack Cale was a legendary coach? You got to play under him. What are your memories of, apart from him giving you a bit of a mouthful there in pre-season, what are your memories of Jack just being around the club and how he got the best out of everybody that played at Port Adelaide?
Yeah, I've given it a fair bit of thought because I went into coaching after I played, and so your natural thing is to go, okay, what you know, the coaches I had, what were their good points? What did they do well? What did they maybe not do so well? Jack's record's phenomenal. But I think he was just approachable as a start. So he always made you feel comfortable. He made you feel welcome. I remember my first game just being nervous as hell. And he came up to me and just said, you know, this is what you were born to do. It was just a little thing, just little things like that that made a huge difference. So just on a personal level, really powerful.
I think he was very good at reading people was.
I think so, yeah.
Probably his strength, not so much tactically wise, like it was, you know, but. Yep. Port, get it forward, crunch, make the contest. It was all simple, but it worked. Unfortunately, it bloody worked in September a hell of a lot. So, yeah, you know.
Absolutely. You know, yeah.
His ability to sell, as Timmy G says, to sell it so that he's selling it to you, that you're better than Johnny Platt in the crunch. And Tim said, you think of it realistically. Of course you're not. But the ability to sell it and have that player believing like an Adrian Setre is playing reserves 2 weeks beforehand and coming in and performing in a league final because he could sell bullshit better than anyone was probably the way of putting it.
He was
brilliant at it.
You're right. He's a great salesman. He's a brilliant salesman. That's one of the things we joke about, and I'm sure probably this has been said before, and it's not a downer on Jack, but we
no, I think it's a compliment.
He's a car salesman.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a car salesman, and he's very good at it.
And yeah, I think that's a compliment for him, and you know, that he was able to get players to play above the ability. Like as a Nords, we'd look through Nord, and go, "Geez, we're better than Port." You know, look at this side on paper; we're convincingly better. It's not close, but come the crunch, Port kept winning.
Games are not played on paper.
No, exactly.
That's the thing.
Oh, bloody oath!
That's right. I think as a coach, I think it's your number one role to instill confidence in your players, to be honest. I think it goes a long way. Like you'll see everything that we're speaking about, you'll see confident players beat talented players.
Yeah.
You won't always see it the other way around. So a talented player without confidence is usually not much good.
So you played in the 96 Premiership side, winning the most improved award as well.
How was that year in the build up to that grand final?
Nerve wracking. I had a lot of problems. So I missed most of 94 and 95 with osteitis pubis.
Yes,
that's
what I thought.
And,
yeah, the osteitis. Yeah, then.
And continual hamstrings the next year. So 96 was a what would you say? It was an exciting year to be back playing, but it was draining because I wasn't confident with my hamstrings, so I used to have to spend an hour and a half warming up before every game, going down the local park and doing some jog throughs and some stretches and all that sort of carry on. So all that sort of side of things was pretty demanding. I also, George Fiacci, who was coming to the end of his career at the time, was he was having a few injuries as well. So I was playing back pocket. So if George was playing, I'd be on the tools. So I'd be on the resting ruckman. Yep. If George wasn't playing, I'd be on the smalls, the quick bloke. So It was pretty stressful going into games because they're pretty different roles.
Yeah.
But yeah, an awesome season. We were pretty lucky to get in the grand final with the game against Norwood when.
Yes.
won't talk to Norwood supporters about
May have been in hospital at that time, Binks, and I was actually reasonably crook. Pete's heard this
really?
Before.
Yes.
And Hodges kicked the goal. A radio came off second best at the Burnside Hospital and may have had a nurse run into the room. And when I said, football is that all? And, yeah, my reply, I certainly wasn't going to win the Patient of the Month award at Burnside Banks after he kicked that goal. The radio never bloody worked again either, so, yeah.
Well, in the background here, we've got playing, obviously, the 96 Grand Final. I went through and like to add these little graphics and videos to it, and I couldn't do 99, mate, for you. Sorry, I couldn't do it.
Oh, I could have.
No, but 96 was obviously a very good year. And your first premiership at Port Adelaide, that's, you know, something that you'll remember forever.
Yeah, it's probably the best feeling I've had in footy, to be honest. It felt like hard yakka. We played every week of finals. The 4 weeks felt like they went for 12 weeks. But, yeah, we got through. I remember that last quarter against Norwood where I was standing Sam Smart, who's a good foot taller than me.
Yep.
And was a mate of mine and was one.
Yeah, I was going to say, you would have gone through school about the same time and all that side of things. Yep.
It was PAC. I went to Teal Cup with him. But, yeah, thankfully it didn't come down there too much because he probably could have plucked one pretty easily on me, I think.
And so go through then at the end of the year, not being chosen in Port's initial AFL squad. That had to be a disappointment, Banks.
Yeah, it did. It felt like a knife in the heart in some ways. I was definitely, holding out. And for that, with hindsight and some wisdom, you look back and I don't blame anyone for not picking me, especially with my injury profile the last couple of years. As harsh as that is, but it's just the truth. I mean, you know. But, yeah, I would have loved to have been a part of it for sure.
Yeah. So then you spent 97 at North Melbourne, basically, too.
Yeah.
That would have been a bit different.
How did that come about?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I remember the time well. I think it was the first year the rookie system came in, so I went over as a rookie. So I didn't really know much about how this worked. I was working at a furniture place in my uni holidays and got a phone call saying that I'd been rookie drafted by them and that I needed to get over there in 2 days. Pretty much.
Wow.
I didn't refuse to go, but said, well, I need to sort out some stuff with uni and all that sort of stuff, so I need to be over there in a week. They didn't really like that. It was Jeff Walsh who probably went on to be the general manager of Collingwood, I think.
Certainly.
Yeah, we had a few interesting words when I first got there.
Yeah, those guys, they don't sort of can't understand. Hang on, someone's actually got another life and they've got to actually organise university side of things. And with Harles Chocker, Freddie, the great man, the greatest man in Fred Chocker Block, helped Harles out dramatically with managing to get the study side of it sorted out and a couple of letters he wrote and all that. Don't realise what happens behind the scenes in that side of things.
Does that sort of play into a little bit what's happened these days with the mid-season draft is that players do have to get themselves sorted out, and this is why it hasn't been as successful as they thought it would be? Or could be?
Are you asking me?
Yeah,
go, Banks.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of only guessing. I don't have as much hands-on knowledge with that, but I would imagine so. It's tricky because, and all of those guys are at that stage now where they might have already been on a list before. They may, coming into 22, 23, 24, got to make some serious decisions on where their life's heading. So, it can really sort of, as much as you, and I'm probably going to fast forward a little bit here, but when the Crows picked me up, I'd basically written off playing AFL, and it was kind of It sounds really weird, but I'd almost turn that off and had my hopes set up on different aspects of life.
Yeah.
Kind of like, oh, geez, here we go again. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of that. I mean, some guys just keep the door open for, you know, a long part of time, but the way life is, you kind of need to put some other things in place, don't you?
Oh, very much so. And it's a fine line. Like, there was a couple of the Nord guys this year. We thought we were losing them in the mid-season draft. And one player had contact from five clubs. So we thought he was a certainty and just couldn't believe it when he wasn't picked. So, it's, again,
it's quite incredible. A cool system for the SRL club.
Well, you talk about that for hours.
That's a whole other topic. Yes.
How did your season go with North Melbourne there? Obviously, you get over there a little bit later than what they would have liked. Did you sort of fit into the system?
I missed most of pre-season. I think the practice games were just starting when I got over there. And I hadn't been exposed to AFL level before. So, I mean, it was great, such a great club to go to. I mean, you had, you know, Wayne Carey and, Glenn Archer, pay Anthony Stevens. So I don't want to. I had to have a gap between those two names. John Longmire. I mean that team was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So just to be around that and experience that sort of environment, the way those guys went about it was awesome. And it just showed me, you know, the level that you need to get to. And I was playing fullback at the time. Went over as a fullback, which is crazy. In hindsight, but playing in a, they went after, because they'd won the 96 flag, so they went after a lot of youth with their drafting, and so most of the kids that drafted were all 17, 18, so we had a reserves team full of 17, 18-year-olds, some pretty good names, Cam Mooney and Brent Harvey and some of those sort of guys, but playing fullback in a young team that was getting, we were getting beaten by 10, 15 goals most weeks at the start of the year was pretty tough going. As a
at least the ball was down your end, Binks.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And so then back to Port.
Yeah, was it a case of coming home and getting back into the groove of things with Port Adelaide?
Yeah, North wanted me to stay for another year and do a full, you know, get a full pre-season and see how I went. But I wasn't, again, I wasn't that excited about it. And I really was at that stage where I thought, I'm probably not going to make AFL level. I want to get on with life and career and all that sort of stuff. And I just want to go back and play one year, you know, one good year of injury-free footy with my mates at Port. And so I set about to do that.
And you certainly achieved that, Binks. So you've, you know, you've played in another Port Premiership side, bloody Port, win the Cobb goal kicking and the BNF. So you had a great year, Binks.
Yeah, and I think it's taught me a lot about, I'm probably quite a, I don't know, would you say a cerebral person? I don't know what the right word is for it, but sometimes...
I think you're a deep thinker, Binks.
Yeah, get caught up in some of the layers. Sometimes it's good for you, sometimes it's not so good for you. And with hindsight, looking back on that year, that just released the pressure and play for all the right reasons. You know, just wanted to play with your mates and play with a, you know, a club that you'd grown up and, you know, grown up around and had some love for was, you know, you just play much better footy when you do that.
Was it a case of you got the experience with North Melbourne and it sort of set you on the right path that when you came back to Adelaide, you were like, let's go, let's play?
I'd built a lot of self-belief and the idea to, it's almost like you had a chance to recreate your identity as a person and as a footballer, like going to a new club and interstate where you don't know anyone, you can almost like create this new persona around yourself. And I really built a lot of confidence about that and was able to bring that back. It was only 12 months, but had a really profound effect on me. And then to come back and think, well, I can actually jump back in at a much higher level than what I left.
And you performed in the crunch. You know, grand final, let's face it, that was a game which could have gone easy either way. You know, I think you kicked one which just scraped through and there was doubt with that. And there was one from Juice Burton which may have gone through and was given a point. So it really was a fine line, that game as well.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I wasn't happy. I had a really good final series. I didn't have a great start to that game. I, you know, dropped a couple early and... but it was one of those games, even though I'm not someone that ever watches footy back, but I did see the last quarter a few years ago somewhere. And I actually didn't realise how seesawing it was. I just always thought we were going to win it. I think, you know, when you talk about self-belief and that sort of thing, and maybe it was naive, But I just, for some reason, always felt we were going to win that game. And I didn't realise actually how close that last quarter was.
But I think that again comes back to the Port bit of the belief, you know.
Yeah.
Like the famous story of Rowan Smith turning up with his gear for going away for the end of season trip at the grand final, you know, where he said, oh, you know, I won't be home for 2 weeks. And Timmy G replies, no, we're going overseas. He said, oh, well, make it a month then, you know. So,
that doesn't surprise me.
No, Rowan is a very, very dry, as we know. So, yes.
Yeah.
And then you get picked up by Adelaide from there, Ben.
Just before you go on with that, you've come back to 98 with a successful season of obviously winning the best and fairest, the leading goal kicker and the grand final. Mm-hmm. Was it a case that you had a bit of one eye on the power and going, you didn't pick me up the first time, I've now achieved what I wanted to achieve in the 98 season, that they might give you another crack?
All right, I have to be honest here.
Yeah, absolutely,
mate. First of all, I actually didn't – I've spoken to the Crows, I've spoken to the Power. I actually didn't think either of them would pick me.
Liking this podcast? Please like, rate, and subscribe.